Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to a post NFL draft edition of this college football podcast at the buzzer. I'm Jack Barsh and I'm addicted to Retro Bowl. Over there is Sam, who doesn't know what Retro Bowl is yet.
I was about to ask you what it is. What is it?
Great question. F the NFL draft. Who cares about college football? Retro Bowl is the only football thing you need to know about. Our fearless leader, our editor, John Woods, turned me on to this and I can't stop playing it. It's an app. It's a phone game. I think it's on Android. I don't know. I'm an iPhone man. But you take a very carefully non-licensed version of an NFL team, and it's all like pixelated and retro graphics, and it's really simple. And you just play on offense, and you basically just play through the franchise. You can do super simple like front office stuff, like trading players, upgrading facilities. And you basically get to build whatever team you want. Like, you have six players that actually matter, and you can sign free agents. You can trade them away for draft picks. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I am in my second season of coaching the Los Angeles Sea, who have yellow and blue uniforms, and it's amazing.
So you've just been spending quarantine just on your phone playing a game?
I don't know if you have an iPhone, but an iPhone, they'll give you like screen time reports. Apple will give you screen time reports.
Yeah.
Every week. And when quarantine started, my screen time immediately jumped about 25% to like too many hours a day. I think it was seven.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've just been playing FIFA, so I can't really judge you.
Mm.
It's on a TV and I'm on a couch. So
yeah.
I feel like it's less trashy than just sitting on my phone.
Basically, I was holding steady at 7 hours a day, and then Retro Bowl happened, and this week's was sad, depressing.
Oof. Well, speaking of too much screen time, I watched too much of the draft, and then I realized I would rather go to the park. And so I didn't watch the draft Saturday. But I watched Thursday and Friday. Did you catch any of it? Do you care about it? It's a graduation process for college football players, so I think you should like it. But
I watched the first round.
All 7 hours of it?
Yeah. I was honestly watching it for the technical glitches, and there were none.
There weren't. Yeah, that was sad.
You know, Trey Wingo did a great job on his own of keeping things moving at least.
I did enjoy all the tragedy stories that they
Yeah, did. Oh my God. Let's ruin this happiest moment in your life by making sure that you remember that your dad died 6 years ago. It was sad. But, that's about it. I can't give myself to really care about college players once they leave college.
It's whatever. Fair, but I am also very invested in seeing CU players like develop into something more. Because like for the most part, coaching staffs in the NFL are a little bit more competent than CU. That's like why like David Bakhtiari went from like a fifth round pick to being like on pace for the Hall of Fame.
No, you think he wasn't developed by Dan Hawkins into being the man that he is today?
I mean, they had Nate Solder, so good job on that. But no, it's just like I'm excited to see like LaVisca Chenault with like an NFL quarterback. Although Gardner Minshew is probably like 28th best in the NFL.
How could you say that?
No, I love Gardner Minshew. 28th is probably a compliment for the skeptics of him. But like, I'm excited for like Davion Taylor to like develop in the NFL, like something like that, where like, is he actually going to be like a steal? Like, is he going to be one of those draft and develop players who just breaks out 3 years from now? I'm curious.
Yeah, yours might be a more humane or human focused way to look at it. I am a Colorado football fan first, and then football player fan second.
Okay.
So once they stop wearing the colors that I enjoy and playing for the team that I enjoy, they become less important to me in terms of football success.
Okay. So whereas I like kind of connect to the players, like, oh, that player who I know is trying his hardest, doesn't realize he's doomed, but he is, but he's still going to work at it. Like LaVisca going 5-7 all 3 years at CU, playing through injury so CU could get to a bowl game, but then they don't.
Yeah, and you know, there are guys like Davion Taylor just make everyone care about him. So
yeah,
obviously I want him to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, there are definitely players I don't like care about, like once they get to the NFL. Like when like Jaleel Brown, when he went to the NFL, like I wasn't like following his career with the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm.
Well,
anyway, all this to say that I think some CU players got drafted. I can't confirm because it didn't happen on the one day I watched.
So, yes. So, three players got drafted. LaVisca Chenault was chosen 42nd pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Davion Taylor with the 103rd pick to the third round to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then Arlington Hambright in the seventh round with the 226th pick to
nice.
The Chicago Bears. So like I didn't actually think Cam Bright was going to get drafted, but it like makes sense that he did. But we can talk about each pick if you want.
No, Sam, you get to drive the boat. What do you want to do?
Well, okay, so I'm happy that LaVisca didn't fall to the bottom of the second round or to the third round because like there was a lot of talk that he would.
Mm-hmm.
Like NFL draft. Experts or whatever were overthinking him to a crazy point. Like I was seeing comparisons to Cordarrelle Patterson, to like Denard Robinson, stuff like that, like gadget players who aren't actual receivers. And it's like, if you've actually seen LaVisca play, he is absolutely a pure receiver. Like this dude has a ridiculous feel for the game. Like his hands are just so good. I don't like, I was looking at Pro Football Reference, and he like doesn't drop any passes.
Mm-hmm.
Every target to him, he like comes down with it. He just struggled this year because like, I mean, he was injured, which I get the injury concerns. That's the only concern I get with him. But the quarterback play was inconsistent at best. Teams were double teaming him and hitting him high and late when he like didn't even catch the ball. And like CU's game plan, they just ran the ball a lot less. So like that types of stuff bothers me. And it's like he was still productive. He was still the best player on their team.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I kept hearing that this is one of the best wide receiver classes of all time.
Oh, it is.
And I think that obviously worked against him because, you know, you don't necessarily have to take an injury chance like that. Not that I think he's that on it. Like he's that much of an injury risk. I don't think he is. In fact, I think he's 100% healthy now. But the other thing is his versatility, I think, was a huge asset at the beginning of the process because, like, why take a receiver when you can take a receiver that can also run through people? But like you said, I think some NFL teams somehow turned that into a weakness, being like, well, why did he have to do that? Why couldn't he just win through route running or whatever? And it's like, you know, he was still a really good receiver and he still caught a lot of passes and he lined up on the outside and he made some defenders look absolutely silly and he can win you one-on-one battles, you know, on the line of scrimmage and beyond. He just also can run like a Mack truck and like play wildcat quarterback. And I don't know. to me, it became discounted, the fact that he could do a bunch of stuff rather than an advantage.
Yeah, like, just because you can be you can be used in gadget plays doesn't mean you're a gadget player.
That's a much better way to put it.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit concerned because, I mean, it's the fucking Jaguars. they're not exactly a marquee franchise. And, like, I was considering getting a Chenault jersey wherever he went, but I'm like, I'm not going to buy a Jaguars.
Do they still have those awful two-toned helmets?
No. They got rid of those, thank God, but they got new uniforms last year that are just, like,
what do they look boring. Like?
They're just boring.
Oh, they're just teal? Okay.
Yeah, they're just, like, plain with huge numbers. I mean, he's going to look cool in them because he could look cool in any uniform.
Do they still have Jalen Ramsey?
No, they traded him to the Rams for 2 first-round picks.
Mm.
Which is crazy that they got 2 first-round picks for him. But, yeah. So, I like the fit. I like the fit with the Jaguars. Gardner Minshew might not be long for the NFL. I really don't know if he struggles and the Jaguars struggle this next year. Like, they might try to tank and go for Trevor Lawrence or something, mm-hmm. because not very many teams are tanking next year. And then they have DJ Chark, who's like just a star.
Love him.
Receiver. Yeah, yeah. He's very fun. And he was a great get by me in fantasy football this year.
Do they still have Marquise Lee?
I mean, if they have him, he's probably injured.
They have Leonard Fournette, right?
Yes, they still do. They tried to trade him, but they still have him.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's plenty of room for LaVisca to get the ball a lot, is what it's sounding like.
He only has to compete with, like DJ Chark and DD Westbrook.
Yeah, he's so different than both of those, though.
Yeah, and he might be used as, like, a third-down running back.
You could honestly use him as an H-back with Leonard and create a very intimidating backfield.
That would be very fun. Yeah, so I like the fit. I'm just a little disappointed it's the Jaguars. But in a vacuum, it's a good fit. He's going to get a lot of chances to play.
Yeah, just get a bunch of touches, be a star, and then sign somewhere more fun for your second contract.
Hopefully. All right, the next pick. Do you want to talk about Davion Taylor going to the Eagles?
Okay, let's see if my recall is correct. LaVisca was picked a pick before the Eagles in the second round, and they took Jalen Hurts, right?
Jalen Hurts was the 45th pick.
Okay, close to the Eagles.
Oh, no.
And that blows my mind that Jalen Hurts is picked. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Davion Taylor, I guess, is the actual buff they did take, and he third round is way higher than I thought he was going to get before his senior year started. And then, honestly, I think he deserved to go higher after his senior year ended, just the way that he played. And obviously, his testing numbers were always going to be insane. Like you said, I think he's one of those guys. He's still learning how to be a football player. And the second that his mental speed matches his physical speed, he's going to destroy people. So, you know, I don't know what comparisons they were making or whatever. I don't know, but I could see, maybe a little Bob Sanders in him, if we remember Bob Sanders.
I mean, I love Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders was also, 5'8" and played safety.
The main thing he did was blow up over the middle of the field. I think he could do that a lot.
Yeah, I like Taylor as, a side-to-side linebacker who just blows up plays at the line of scrimmage, who just closes ground in a hurry.
Yeah, he's going to be great for a lot of the edge plays. Honestly, as the quote RPO makes it through the NFL about 10 years after college, he's great against defending the RPO.
He's going to get a lot of time too because the Eagles are very thin at linebacker. They needed one badly. And if there's any criticism of the team, they probably should have drafted a linebacker who is more ready to play. They had a lot of mock drafts were projecting them like Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen in the first round, but because they have that big of a need, but they went with Davion Taylor. And even if he isn't necessarily ready for NFL time, he's going to get it and he's going to have to develop quickly.
Yeah. I don't think he is ready for NFL time right away, but if they can stick with him, he's going to prove to be a pretty big steal, I think.
He's going to be a special teams monster, at least.
Yeah, and you can make, hey, you can make money. Matthew Slater, I only know that name because of how much Bill Belichick loves that he plays special teams. And I think he's still
like a 7-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, see, there you go. Worst case scenario, just do that.
Let me see, actually. All right, do you have any thoughts about Arlington Hambright in the NFL? I've heard that he might have to switch to guard, which makes sense.
I don't know. He was solid. I didn't expect him to be the third buff drafted, but he was fine the year he was here. Like, yeah, I think he was quietly pretty good.
Yeah, he didn't really make any mistakes. It wasn't like the left tackle the season before, who I'm not going to name.
I honestly am trying to remember who that was, and I think it was two players, and I don't think either of them are that good. So, no. But good for him. You know, I have nothing else. I have no idea about the fit. Hopefully he stays on the roster and gets paid.
Yeah, I think like he could be a good depth piece. Someone who can just play tackle or guard if someone goes down. Like, there's nothing wrong with that in the NFL. Like, you could have a long career playing 6 or 7 years just being a backup. Like Daniel Munyer, even the old CU guard, has made a career for himself.
Is he still playing?
I think he was last year. Yeah. Beautiful. I think he's still in the NFL. So, the surprise undrafted player, we thought Steven Montez was going to go a 6th or 7th round pick, but he ended up being undrafted. And some really bad quarterbacks got drafted ahead of him.
Yeah, but it's also some really good quarterbacks got drafted way late because college quarterbacking, I guess, is a mystery to the NFL team still.
I mean, yeah. This is also, the NFL tends to fluctuate pretty quickly with, like, there's one season where everybody needs a quarterback, and then the very next season nobody needs a quarterback because they don't realize the guy they got the year before sucked. So, like, the Bears don't need a quarterback yet because they're still working with Trubisky, you know? Mm. Even though they're
bad.
Yeah. So it's like the it comes and goes very quickly. And I think this was one of those weird years where teams were going to give chances to players who are going to need replacing next year. So that's why Jake Fromm like fell to the 5th round or whatever, even though he should have stayed at Georgia.
Maybe he should have stayed at Georgia. I don't know. They're also, I think, kind of done with what he could do for them at Georgia. I think this was a good situation for both parties because he can still get paid.
Okay, that's fair.
But I would consider him a better college quarterback than Steven Montez was. It's hard to do that 1-to-1. And if he was drafted so late, then Steven Montez going undrafted makes sense.
Yeah, we've talked enough about Montez, so I don't want to go over anything other than going to Washington is actually a pretty good place for him to end up. They have Dwayne Haskins starting. He's not very good, but he's still growing. They have Kyle Allen as the backup. And then Alex
Texas A&M Smith, Kyle Allen?
Yeah, they got Kyle Allen.
Nice. Houston Cougar Kyle Allen?
Yeah, yeah. So they have those two, and then they have Alex Smith on the roster. But them trading for Kyle Allen signals that Alex Smith isn't really going to be ready for the NFL, and he might retire at some
Didn't
point.
Didn't he, like, have to amputate his arm or something?
No. So he broke his leg horribly at the end of 2018, and he missed all of last season, and he's still not recovered fully from that.
Oh, I was way off. Okay.
Yeah. I think it was a very bad leg break, which is why he's missed the full season and might miss more, and it might be a career-ending injury for him.
He's 35. He's pretty old.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was a quarterback who relied on mobility. So, yeah, Washington, they have Haskins, they have Kyle Allen. And they don't have any other quarterback. They didn't draft any other quarterback. So it's Steven Montez's to get. Huh. He could just walk in and be their practice quarterback.
Alex Smith, according to Wikipedia, has only led the league in two categories. He led the league in passer rating while he was at Kansas City in 2017. Do you want to guess the other category?
Completion percentage?
No. He was sacked 44 times in 2011. Ah.
Okay, that's fun. I like those numbers.
Wow. Okay, he had severe sepsis after the surgery.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay. Anyways, okay, good spot for Montez. I believe, what, two other players signed? Two other buffs?
Yes. So Tony Brown went to the Cleveland Browns. And likewise to Montez, he's going somewhere where he can stick because they have zero depth. They have Odell Beckham, they have Jarvis Landry, and they have a bunch of shitty receivers. They drafted Donovan Peoples-Jones in the sixth round.
Good pick.
You have, yeah, that's a really good pick. It's going to be in my steals that I talk about later. And then they have Taywan Taylor, who's, like, solid. But otherwise, they just have a bunch of, like, undrafted seventh-round type talent on the back of the roster. So if Tony Brown can, like, impress because he's such a good teammate and he's a really great run blocker, really good technician, everything. Like, you love Tony Brown.
Yeah, I mean, he catches the ball, and that's the job of a wide receiver. I feel like that's pretty simple.
Yeah, he does the little things really well, and a lot of that's the team. He's a team player in every sense of the word. And I think that he can stick with that because coaches tend to love those guys.
Okay.
And then the final player who signed so far, we don't know about the other guys as of this recording. Delrick Abrams, the cornerback, signed with the Atlanta Falcons. And the Falcons also have a bunch of shitty cornerbacks, including Isaiah Oliver.
No, he's amazing. It's just a bad situation. It's not his fault.
Yeah, Isaiah Oliver has been less than spectacular in Atlanta. However, he is their number one corner because they got rid of Desmond Trufant.
Hell yeah.
So they drafted A.J. Terrell in the first round, which was a reach. They have. Really? I don't like A.J. Terrell that much.
Okay.
I mean, they also needed an edge rusher, and Clavon Chaisson was available, so I don't know why. But it's whatever.
Wow. The man who visited Boulder once upon a time, Clavon Chaisson.
Yes, he did.
Continue.
So, yeah, they have they're very thin at cornerback. I don't remember exactly which guys they have, but it's a bunch of, like, 70 overalls or lower if you did a Madden roster. So, like, Delrick could stick mostly because they're not good at the position. And I mean he has steps of growth still left in him.
Yeah, he's willing to hit and run coverage, which always I think helps you stay in the next level.
And I mean he was a late bloomer too, who came from JUCO.
And from a tiny town in Louisiana originally.
Yeah.
It's good for him to go back to that area.
Yeah.
I'm glad. He deserves it too. What a guy.
Yeah, he does. So we're still waiting to hear back about Alex Kinney, the punter, Tim Lena, the guard. am I missing anybody?
Mikhail Onu.
Oh, yeah, Mikhail Onu, the safety. Yeah. So I don't expect any of those guys to stick in the league. Maybe Tim Lena could be a depth piece. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Are there any other seniors that we're missing?
I think that's all, basically.
I think that's about it. Who aren't going pro in something other than sports.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish those six the best. Obviously, LaVisca was the most high-profile departure.
Yeah. And we're very happy for Davion.
Oh, man. Can't wait till he wins the Super Bowl.
With the Eagles?
I don't know who's going to be with.
Oh, that's true. I was hoping the Ravens would draft LaVisca and Davion, but, you know, you can't have everything go your way. And, okay, transition into my favorite picks of the draft.
Okay.
Do you have anything you like? Do you have any? Did you follow it at all?
I think Tua is the best player in this class, so I think Miami won. Is there anything else?
I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was my favorite player.
Oh, that's such a beautiful fit. What a perfect fit.
I know. And I love that every college football writer on Twitter was immediately like, oh my God, yes.
It is interesting to see the disparity between like what college writers think of as good players and what the NFL's like scout guys are saying. I don't know. I saw some of that on Thursday. It was interesting.
Well, I mean, you know who's usually right in those situations?
Is it college football writers?
Yeah, because they watch the games. Like, we know Justin Herbert isn't going to be any good.
Ugh. That's my least favorite pick. I don't know if we're doing that.
I know, because you're a Chargers fan. Yeah, I have Justin Herbert as one of my least favorite picks, and I have them trading up, the Chargers trading back into the first round for Kenneth Murray, who, I mean, he's fine, but it was a terrible trade. Like,
I don't even know who Kenneth Murray is, and I would call myself a pretty diehard college football fan. So maybe I'm an idiot.
I mean, I knew who he was before the season started, but he's an Oklahoma linebacker.
Why? How many times am I going to have to watch the 6'5 mediocre white quarterback get picked in the top 10?
Well, it's because of scout brain.
The guy, sure. I mean, we watched him throw the ball, and he can throw darts. And we watched him throw darts. But we also watched him suck for like half the year. Maybe sucks too harsh. But we watched him be an okay quarterback carried by a fantastic defense for half the year. Anyways. I
mean, yeah, that Oregon roster had a lot of talent on it, and they were still propped up and almost entirely by their defense at points. Like, CU didn't have a problem stopping the Oregon offense until
Steven Montez decided to throw an interception right before halftime by getting a tip drill against Brady Russell, and then that game was frustrating. The injuries piled up and blah, blah, blah.
I'm not surprised Montez got undrafted. Okay, back to my favorite picks. I love Jerry Jeudy to the Broncos. Very happy for all you Broncos fans.
He's so good.
I guess I'm a Broncos fan. I don't really care, but he's perfect. He's going to be fantastic with Cortland Sutton. I loved Patrick Queen to the Baltimore Ravens.
He's partly so because good.
If you can get a super athletic linebacker named Patrick Queen and put him on the Ravens, every time. And I also, with the 55th pick, the Ravens drafted J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. Just a perfect running back for that.
He was still available that late?
Yeah. I think Cam Akers got drafted before him, which is kind of funny.
Who got Cam Akers?
The Rams? Or the Falcons? Yeah, it was the Rams. Yeah.
That's also good.
I mean, yeah, that is a good fit, but like, why would you not pick J.K. Dobbins?
I love J.K. Dobbins. Yeah, I mean, that's like, perfect next to Lamar. Wow.
Yeah, I was just really happy with those picks because like, I was doing a lot of mock drafts online throughout the draft process, but I'm super bored and was having some fun with that. And like every mock draft I did, I was hoping I could get the Broncos, Jerry Jeudy. I was hoping to get Queen and Dobbins on the Ravens. And then I always picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the Chiefs second round pick. And I'm happy they got him in the first, but yeah. So I was just very happy with all those picks. I think they're all going to be stars where they go.
Yeah, I mean, pick great players, and then they're probably going to continue to be great players. So,
especially if you put them in a position to succeed. I think that's a bigger thing.
Man, J.K. Dobbins in the second round, that might be my favorite pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some steals too. Like, I don't know how Eno Benjamin fell to the seventh round from Arizona State. He's such a good running back. He's going to go to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I could see because he's not that fast, but he's still a battering ram.
Who cares? Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't fast.
Those are different skill sets, I think. I mean, I love Eno Benjamin. No, but
I know. I was actually – so I showed my brother Clyde Edwards-Helaire highlights. My brother doesn't watch any football, but he was like, oh, shit, he looks like Emmett Smith when he's running, which I thought was really good.
Interesting.
Well, Emmett Smith was short, stocky, not very fast, and he kind of moved like that. He caught a lot of passes.
I mean, he's just an automatic 4 yards, and he'll touch the ball as many times as you let him. And like that's how you win football games.
Super durable. If you're 210 pounds at that size, you can take any hit, especially if you're good at avoiding hits, which he is. I also, for some steals, I put LaVisca going in the second round as a steal because I'm a homer.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Bond fell to the third round somehow. Wonderful defensive end. With a lot of versatility. Like, I don't know why he fell that far. But And then your boy, I have DJ Dallas.
Oh.
Fourth round to the Seahawks. Mm. What do you like about him?
He's just a giant guy, and he runs over people. I don't know. I like running backs that are good at running over people, I guess. You can keep your jitterbugs. He's just super thick. He knows what he is. That might be a guy who's also better in college, but that's part of why college football is better. Is it allows guys like this to shine.
Were you a fan of Michael Turner back in the day?
Like Chargers Michael Turner? Yeah.
Chargers Michael
Turner. I don't even know where he went to college.
I don't either, actually.
Before you look it up, guess. Give me a guess.
Well, Chrome just crashed on me for the 8th time today.
Okay, I got it for you. Give me a guess.
Arkansas State.
No. Northern Illinois.
Oh, that's a similar energy.
I don't know. DJ Dallas is just he just bounces off of contact.
Did you like TJ Duckett?
Yes, I love TJ Duckett. who is the smaller guy with TJ Duckett? It was
Work Done.
Yes, thank you. Work Done.
I saw a man with a Work Done jersey today asking for money.
Let's see, was there anything else? Are there any other picks or players that I was interested in see how they're going? Because I think they're just really good at football.
I like Juwan Jennings in the 7th round, the receiver from Tennessee. He's just a huge dude.
Yeah, he's very big.
I don't know why, like, if Jimmy Graham is a matchup problem because of his speed and size, why does it make a difference if he's a receiver or a tight end?
I mean, Jimmy Graham, I think, is way taller than Juwan Jennings. Let me
check that. I mean, obviously Jimmy Graham's more athletic.
Where did Jalen Johnson get picked in the first round?
I don't think so. Juwan Jennings is 6'3".
Jalen Johnson is very good. Do you know? Let's find out when he was picked.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham is 6'7". Oh my god. Well.
Yeah. He was picked number 50, Jalen Johnson. Okay, that's really good value. Kristen Fulton, also from LSU, a very good corner. I don't think he was picked far in the first round.
No, he went to like 60th to like the Cowboys. Whoa. Or whatever.
Okay, that's going to be a good pick.
To the Titans.
Yeah.
I think the worst pick in the entire draft was the Raiders going for Damon Arnett. The cornerback from the Raiders. You know, he had like a 4.6 something 40-yard dash. He didn't have very good tape. His agility scores were really low, and he is super inconsistent. All around, he was like rated to be like a late third-round pick. And the Raiders were like, well, we like him, but our next pick's at 80th overall. We don't know if he's going to be there for us. Maybe. But if your guy might be there at the 80th pick, maybe don't get him at the 19th.
We're trying to trade down.
Yeah, honestly. God, what's so funny about the Raiders, about them reaching on every pick, because remember last year they drafted Cleland Farrell 4th overall?
Wow. Yikes.
Their GM is Mike Mayock, the former ESPN mock draft guy.
Awesome. What are they doing? Wait, what? Isn't their coach John Gruden?
It's John Gruden, and they have Mayock. Obviously, Gruden made the pick because this is very much a Gruden pick, but it's just bad.
What the hell are they doing?
One of my favorite bad picks, too, was so J.K. Dobbins went 55th overall, and then A.J. Dillon went 61st to the Packers. Mm. And, I mean,
why is that cool. Bad?
He's fun, and he's cool. He's going to be like a Derrick Henry type. But even Derrick Henry was a late second-round pick. You don't draft running backs that high unless they can give you something in the receiving game. They're actually, like, really good, like one of the elite prospects at their position. And A.J. Dillon is going to be their second or third-string running back right now. And he doesn't contribute anything in the passing game. And he's obviously, like, he's not going to be Derrick Henry. I don't know why they think he can be. because Derrick Henry was the Heisman, and he still fell to the second with that skill set. So I'm not really sure.
I can't talk bad on AJ Dillon. He's, once again.
No, I know.
That's it's what just, a running back should look like. Wow.
I get it.
What a man.
I get it. It's just, it's a reach. But I'm not going to critique every reach because some of the reaches are good. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is probably a reach, but it's a perfect fit. Who cares? I'm just a little bit annoyed at the Packers because their first two picks, they picked Jordan Love from Utah State, the quarterback, and then they picked AJ Dillon. And it's like, why would you pick AJ Dillon second round if you have Aaron Jones already? And he's still really good. I don't know.
I don't think Jordan Love is the one you take if you're going to develop a quarterback either. But, you know, whatever.
I don't think he's very good. But
maybe I'm a hater.
Whatever. I also thought Marcus Mariota would be a star, so who am I to judge?
I love Marcus Mariota. I'm glad that we all agree. It seems like everyone agrees that Joe Burrow is just really good. I was expecting some pushback from someone, but no, it's just like, yeah, he's really good.
I'm gonna toot my own horn because I called him the Heisman frontrunner after his game against Texas, like week three. So I'm very happy that turned out.
I'm also happy that I, if I remember correctly, the first thing that anyone said on draft night after he was picked was that Nebraska thought they were too good for him when he transferred. And that's going to come back to bite Scott Frost every single year.
Nobody else was really interested in Joe Burrow, to be honest. Like, there's some hindsight critique there, but it is funny to just make fun of Nebraska at any point.
Look, I'm just saying, if you don't think every other Big Ten team, including our boy Mel Tucker, isn't using that line against them as they're competing for quarterbacks, you're insane.
Yeah. Also, who did Nebraska get anybody picked? I can't think of one. I mean, like, I know Khalil Davis and Lamar Jackson both got picked, but like,
I thought they were signed, not picked.
Oh no. Khalil Davis, sixth round pick, and that was it.
Yikes. My God. Oh, no. You hate to see it. You just hate it.
You hate to see it. Oh, my God. They have the same amount of picks as Lenore Ryan.
That's cool.
God.
I think maybe this is going to be my hot take. I think Josh Love out of San Jose State is a better quarterback than Jordan Love.
Can you repeat that? I wasn't listening to you.
I think Josh Love out of San Jose State, when did he get picked, is maybe not better, but more my speed of quarterback than Jordan Love. Josh Love is undrafted, and he's going to the Rams.
I'm also – okay, so apparently – I don't know if this is right. I don't trust this website because this can't be right. In the last 5 years, the Nebraska Huskers have had 8 players get drafted. And they're all second, third, fourth, and fifth rounds.
What are the 8 players?
The last one, according to this, which I don't trust this, was Nathan Jerry, fifth round pick to the Eagles. This also has Kenny Bell, Malik Collins, Andy Janovich, and then Randy Gregory. Iconic Randy Gregory.
Is he allowed back in the NFL yet?
I can check for you pretty easily.
I guess one last guy we all are a fan of. When did Lynn Bowden go?
Oh, so Randy Gregory and Aldon Smith are both still indefinitely suspended. So great company, Randy Gregory. Can you repeat that?
When did Lynn Bowden get drafted?
Ooh, I think he went to the Raiders, actually. Oh, yeah, he got drafted to the Raiders, I think, in the third round.
Ugh, I was rooting for him. That's too bad. I was rooting for him.
I'm still rooting for him. All right, last thing. Do you want to go over the best names in the class?
Absolutely.
Do you have any off the top of your head that you love?
And Joey Magnifico is got to be the best one, right?
He wasn't drafted.
Oh, so he doesn't count? They're people too.
He doesn't count. I mean, I did the article. I wrote the best names of the NFL draft. I think 60 people have read the article so far. That's it.
Give him time.
But too much time on it. No. I put Joey Magnifico as an honorable mention because he was not drafted. My tight end, because he wasn't there, was Dalton Keene. And right when I read the name Dalton Keene, I thought, wow, that's a really Weld County-ass name.
Well, I looked him up. I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's from rural Colorado. His brother played baseball at Northern Colorado. And so it's just really funny because, of course, he's from fucking rural Colorado.
I mean, we say it a lot, and so maybe it got normalized, but if we really think about it or try to come at it with fresh ears, the name LaViska Chenault is wild.
Yeah, that is a wild name. It's right up there with Quintez Cephas.
Oh, Wisconsin fame.
Yeah. And then, like, C.D. Lamb is an insane name, too.
Right. C.D. Lamb is a great name.
Arlington Hambright made my team, too.
Sir Arlington Hambright?
Yeah.
The Duke of Ham?
Oh, we also have Lloyd Cushenberry III, similar energy. Okay. One of my favorite ones that I found that is just funny to me, it's funnier every time I say it, is Stantley Thomas Oliver III. But wow. It's Stantley, not Stanley. And there's three of them.
Yeah, that better be a family name because there's no way you're just coming up with Stantley.
Oh, man. So the cornerbacks, the defensive backs were so stacked. There was Kendall Vildor. There was Stantley Thomas Oliver III. Also, Kendall Vildor, I have no idea where this guy comes from. His mom's name is like Melissa Thompson. So I don't know what's happening. How you go from that to Kendall Vildor.
What a name.
Yeah. Also, with the defensive backs, there was Legarius Sneed, which is so good. Just so good.
Yeah, okay for me, but continue.
Okay, I think Sneed is one of the worst last names that could be had. And then you just put Legarius in front of it. It's amazing.
Okay.
And then we go with the great constant, the great alliteration of the Carius Keys.
That is a good one. That is a good one. That's growing on me.
Okay. Do you have any good ones? I know, like, there was a good amount. I took the good ones.
I mean, DJ Dallas is also a great one. It's right down the middle, but just it feels good coming out of your mouth.
I have him on my team.
DJ Dallas. Okay.
Yeah. Another one that's not weird, but it's really fun to say, is Antonio Gandy Golden.
That's great. Why do you think that's not? I think that's a little weird. That's a great name.
Antonio, no, I mean, Gandy, like, there's nothing, like, objectively weird. Like, there's no, like, LaViska to the name. Where it's, like, just a name you've literally never heard. It just flows so well.
I believe if he made it this far, this would have been Pookie Maka's draft class. All-time great CU name.
Oh, man. Love that guy. Oh, I mean, we have some great names. I've been wanting to do a superlatives for the draft class, or for the recruiting class. But, like, CU has a player named Lamonius Montana, or what is it?
Montana Lamonius Craig.
Montana Lamonius Craig.
Yeah, and he's going to be good.
What a great name. He's going to be first team all-name all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah, I think, all right, what are some other ones I had? I think John Runyon is very funny. He's a Michigan offensive guard.
Mm-hmm.
Which, John Runyon, that's the perfect name for that type of thing. He sounds like he chops wood.
Well, because of, like, Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, shirtless, hairy in the woods, John Runyon.
Okay. You can crystallize this man's image in your head so fast.
I mean, yeah, it's a visual name.
Okay.
Describes exactly who he is. All right, and then the last one, this man was not drafted. So it's really a shame that he didn't get drafted, but he did sign with the Indianapolis Colts, and he's going to replace Adam Vinatieri and be an amazing kicker for a long time. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, it's got to be Rodrigo.
Rodrigo Blankenship. Ugh.
What a guy.
Has a thick mustache, wears bottle glasses under his helmet.
Hold on. I believe – oh, no, it was last year that he was drafted. One of my all-time favorite names, Lyndon Johnson, the defensive end.
God. I want to go through these draft classes now and just look, make an all-time team of the best name.
It sounds like you have the time, because that would be a lot of it.
Well, I went through all seven rounds yesterday, so and it took me like 35 minutes.
Who was Mr. Irrelevant?
I don't remember.
That's well, there you go, and keep his namesake.
The Giants got him.
Talk about Tay Mr. Crowder. Irrelevant, really.
Tay Crowder, Georgia linebacker.
You paid attention more than me. Before we sign off, one last thing. Who had the best in home office setup? Out of the coaches.
I mean, I guess you gotta go with Cliff Kingsbury because he looks like a Coke dealer.
Oh, I saw that. Like the floor to ceiling windows with the pool outside.
I also enjoyed Zach Taylor having a very, very Cincinnati type poor office setup where he's backed into a corner with plain walls and like a bookshelf. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I saw John Elway had like 8,000 TVs, which makes sense.
He also had all his Super Bowl trophies out.
You got to flex.
Got to flex. Like Lincoln Riley, they showed Lincoln Riley during the draft, and he had the BCS National Championship from 2000 in his office. Like, what? He didn't even win that.
Wasn't he, like, in middle school when that happened?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Okay, do you have any other thoughts about the draft?
No, just glad that it's over, and I hope that that's not the last football thing that happens this year.
I'm excited for Will Sherman to get drafted next year. We can look forward to that. I don't know who else is going to get drafted. I haven't paid attention to it. I don't even know who's going to be an upperclassman next season.
Wow, okay.
I'm just kidding.
There'll be some names that we can throw out.
Yeah. Nate Landman. Yeah. He'll be a nice sixth round pick.
You say fifth round pick?
I said sixth round pick, but yeah.
Wow. Discounting Nate Landman so harshly.
Evan Weaver didn't get drafted till the sixth round.
He's better than Evan Weaver.
Okay, that's fair. That's fine. All right.
Sixth round. All right, I'm done. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right, bye.
Buzz!